My Story, an autobiography of a homosexual Christian by Derek Michael Shaw. Episode 3, My Parental Letters. Chapter 1, The Early Years. For the longest time, I thought my story started at the point where I could remember my past, around age 5 or 6. I had a hard time seeing and understanding how the things that happen to us as babies and infants make an impact on our lives as adults. That's primarily because I had an amazing childhood. I had two parents who loved me and encouraged me in whatever I wanted to learn, study, and pursue. I had older and younger siblings that cared for me and allowed me to love them. I had an amazing family, growing up in a church that taught me how to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, gentle, faithful, and self-controlled. And so now, I truly see that my story began the day that I was born. But it took me many decades to arrive here, a place where I'm finally embracing myself as the man that God intended me to be. I hope by telling you my story, it will also help you understand what it means to be homosexual, because that is what I am, a homosexual, a gay man. And not only that, but I've also chosen to be a homosexual Christian man. Choice. It's an interesting word, especially for me, because I've been told by people throughout my life that I've chosen to be homosexual. I've chosen to have a gay lifestyle, and I've chosen to embrace and act upon my sexual attraction to men. But was it really a choice? Was I choosing sex, and homosexual sex at that? Or was I just trying to find love, connection, and attachment? Because even before God created Eve, He said it was not good for man to be alone. And when I choose to express my sexuality, I am simply saying that I am like Adam and nearly every other person on the planet. I do not want to be alone. It is not good for Derek to be alone. Choice also comes into play with my Christianity, because unlike my sexual attraction, becoming Christian was my choice, as was recommitting my life to the Holy Trinity on Miracle Sunday. Even now, I choose to stay in the Christian faith while encountering so many Christians who tell me that the only way forward for me as a homosexual is one of aloneness and celibacy. They say that I need to refrain from sexual contact, even though I burn with passion. So, I urge you to consider, what do you really choose in your own lives? Did you choose to start liking the opposite sex? Did you choose to fall in love with your spouse? Or did you simply discover and accept who and what you liked? Because that is what happened to me. One day, at the age of 21, I discovered and accepted my sexual attraction. My earliest years were spent in the hospital because I had recurring ear infections as an infant. I know this because of two handwritten letters I received from my parents in the fall semester of my senior year at Wheaton College. Wheaton is a small private Christian college in Wheaton, Illinois. At that time, and to this day, it is recognized as one of the most academically challenging Christian colleges in the United States. It is also a very conservative school. I had to attend chapel services 3 times a week, and the school didn't allow dancing when I was attending. The no dancing policy was changed in 2003, the year after I graduated. I don't know why I received my parental letters. I've asked my friends from Wheaton, I've asked my parents, and I've tried to remember myself. No one knows the specifics of why my parents wrote these letters. I suspect it was related to a specific class I was in, or maybe because I was approaching graduation. These are fundamentally different from other notes and cards my parents sent me during my time at Wheaton. Those do not have the same tone or specific details about me. What I do know is that I received these letters in December 2001 because my father's letter is dated December 10th, 2001. And because they meant so much to me at the time, and because of my God-given passion for relationships, I saved those letters for 16 years while I lived in over 11 different apartments in 6 states. I'm so glad that I did, because they've been instrumental in understanding my story. In April 2002, a few months after I received my parental letters, I finally accepted that I had exclusive homosexual attraction. I vividly remember walking to the cafeteria with a group of male friends as we passed by an attractive couple. While all of my friends commented on how hot the girl looked, I realized at that moment that I had been staring at the guy the entire time. I couldn't even recall what the girl looked like. And in that instant, I finally accepted a part of me that I had not understood up to that point. I wasn't attracted to women. I was attracted to men. I had always been attracted to men. But accepting that part of me still left me with 2 quote-unquote choices, and neither of them seemed that appealing. I was in a safe place with godly people and a loving Christian community, but I did not have the full understanding of how God creates all people in His image. God isn't straight or gay, but His love can be reflected and be present in both homosexual and heterosexual love. At the moment of accepting I was homosexual, I knew my family wouldn't understand it, because I didn't even understand it myself. I didn't know why I was homosexual. I just knew that I had always and only ever been sexually attracted to men. I'm going to let you see and read my parental letters, because they are 2 wonderful testaments of my parents' love for me. Please remember, I received them a few months before I had accepted I had exclusive homosexual attraction, although I had many indications prior to that where I should have realized I was only attracted to men. And by accepting my homosexual desires, I thought I would either have to be celibate for the rest of my life, or I would have to act on my desires, and then I would go to hell for quote-unquote sinning. Who would want to burn in hell? But how could I be celibate? God put this intense desire for a romantic relationship inside of me, as well as a healthy sex drive. It would be torturous to live in celibacy. Trust me, I tried for 4 years. Damned if I do, miserable and unfulfilled if I don't. That doesn't sound like a God I want to worship or a religion that I want to belong to. And so here are my parental letters. I begin with my father's. Derek, the things I remember. December 10th, 2001. A little guy under an oxygen tent in the hospital and a chance to be close by him. A blonde that tried to go to black hair for the play The King and I. A little guy that was a good little league player. A very good soccer player and still is. A wonderful example to his brothers, sister, and friends. An awesome pianist that is missed very much, just to lay on the couch and hear you play. A crack shot hunter, only 1 timeout and 1 deer. Not many can boast a perfect average. An extremely intelligent guy. It's one thing to be valedictorian, but completely another to do it with honors classes. A wonderful viola and violin player. A super caring, loving, and sensitive to others kind of guy. I could go on and on, even outlasting the Energizer Bunny, but I don't have enough paper to list my wonderful memories of you growing up. Derek, you have made me extremely proud, and I continue to thank the Lord for giving me a most wonderful son. I know the Lord has great plans for you. Thank you for your love and continued awe-inspiring accomplishments. I love you very much. Dad. And now my mother's letter. Dear Derek, when I think back over all the years of your childhood, many memories come to mind. Of course, you don't remember the first 3 years of your life, but I remember them very well because of all of your ear infections. For about 2 years, you slept sitting in your car seat or the recliner because the pain was less if you were upright. We spent a lot of nights together. When we finally decided to put tubes in your ears, we were praying it was the right decision. I will never forget when they took you to surgery. You were in an iron-barred crib, and your hands were reaching through the bars, and you were crying for Mom. I don't know which one of us was crying harder. Watching them take you away was one of my most heart-wrenching moments. However, it was a good decision, and you recovered completely with no lasting scars. You were always a happy toddler. When Jonathan came along, you were best buddies. You really enjoyed taking care of him. God has blessed you with a loving and compassionate nature. You also loved to do puzzles, sing, and play with Star Wars figures. The first time you put a puzzle together backwards, with only the gray cardboard backing showing, we knew you were very bright and gifted. We have always been pleased with your successes, but are more pleased that you allow God to work in you and that you work for His glory. Of course, I miss the baby I rocked and the toddler I played with and the student we watched play the piano and violin. I appreciate and love the man you've become, and I am very excited to see you mature in Christ. Sometimes I do believe you are more mature than your mother. So, in this your senior year in college, know that I love you dearly, I enjoy you sharing your life with us, and I will always be your very proud mother. The Lord truly blessed our family when He gave you to us. May God continue to richly bless your life as you continue to grow and serve Him. All my mother love, Mom. Next time on My Story, the conclusion of Chapter 1, The Early Years.